This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Mark D. Van Els, and his book is America and World War I, A Traveler's Guide. I get a sense that a lot of wars are led by heroes of the previous war, and they've got technology that they didn't have experience with when they fought the war where they're in command of. And sometimes that meant there's more casualties than there might have been otherwise. I mean, I get this sense with the machine gun. You know, old school 19th century generals would just wave their sword and everybody would climb out of the trenches and they'd be mowed down by the tens of thousands. What's your take on that?
Yeah, in the beginning of the war, that was certainly correct. If you look back at the history of warfare, there's almost always a technological lag between the weapons that are available. They really hadn't been tried much in battle before. And the way officers are taught in the military training academies in these sorts of things. So at the beginning of the war, yeah, the idea was get your guys out of a trench and charge towards the enemy trenches. You know, warfare historically had been fought out in the open. Think American Civil War, for example, mm-hmm. or the American Revolutionary War. But now in World War I, you had the machine gun, which could literally spray the battlefield full of bullets. Modern artillery, which is very deadly and very accurate. So being out on an open field was almost certain death. So that led to the trench warfare, which basically locked soldiers into their positions for about 3.5 years. Now, as the war went on, they began to think about ways to break out of those trenches. Some were not successful. Think, for example, poison gas, one of the great tragedies of the First World War. But also they began to come up with new weapons like tanks, which would eventually be important in getting the battlefield moving again. Aircraft, this is the first time that the air power is used in a significant way during warfare. New tactics. The Germans had something called stormtroopers, for example. They would send small numbers of troops through the enemy lines, create havoc in the background, and then in that havoc, then have a larger attack that did help them to break the stalemate on the Western Front, at least for a time. Mm. Oh, it's surprising how many important World War II figures really got their feet wet in World War I.
Churchill, Hitler, Eisenhower, Patton, I suppose.
Yeah, Patton, he was really the father of American armor, tank warfare. He really was among the first officers to really see this as important to warfare. He leads the first American tank attack in U.S. military history during the First World War. He was injured during the First World War, so he was a pretty important figure in that conflict. And, of course, in World War II, his ideas about armored warfare had only become more advanced and more timely, and he becomes one of the great commanders of the Second World War. But it played a very important role in the First World War. I'd also note George C. Marshall, who never commanded troops in the field, but he was the top American planning officer by the end of the First World War, designed many of the battles at the end of the war that were very important. And, of course, his leadership and his organizational skills helped us win World War II as well.
And he was instrumental in the Marshall Plan, wasn't he?
After World War II, absolutely.
Now, that's interesting. I hadn't realized that, but, you know, we learned the hard way that the way we finished off World War I by tromping down the defeated enemy and making him pay for all the damage. And with Marshall's experience after World War I, he realized after World War II, let's build up our defeated enemies and make them trading partners. Did I get that right?
Yeah, there's debate among historians about whether or not the Versailles Treaty was too hard on the Germans or actually whether or not it was too soft. So there's actually discussion and debate mm-hmm. about that. I think everyone can agree that the First World War didn't end well.
Right.
And so after World War II, there was more thought put into ending it right this time. And the Marshall Plan would certainly be part of that, I think.